puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
You know, I look forward to Abandon Manitoba every week. Not only a chance to sit down with Gordon Goldsborough, but to discover my province. But this week, I am super excited for many reasons we shall discover now. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadja.
Remind us of our clue from last time.
Well, I said that a lot of the places we've been discussing in this series make some of our listeners rather nostalgic, but the one this week might make them a little crabby.
What were you thinking all week, Manitoba? What were you thinking? Well, let's put you out of your misery. Gordon, what are you talking about this week?
I was talking about a little building along Highway Number 7. It's about 2 miles, maybe a little more than 2 miles north of Camarno, about 40 miles north of Winnipeg. It's called Crabby Steve's Dance Hall.
No, it isn't.
It is.
That's not the name.
It is.
Are you serious? Now tell me all about Crabby Steve's.
Well, we have to say, of course, Crabby Steve's is a fellow named Steve McSimmick. And Mr. McSimmick was born in the Interlake area. He was born in an area called Melanton, just not far from Camarno. And during the Second World War, he joined the Merchant Marine. Now, this must have been an interesting experience for a kid from the Interlake. He traveled the world. He saw an awful lot of things. And when he came back to the Interlake after the war, it must have seemed rather boring by comparison. So in 1947, he decided that the local area needed a little bit of, you know, fun. So he built a dance hall right along the highway, and on Saturday nights, he would attract everybody from the surrounding area to come for a dance.
It was the place to be.
It was indeed. That's where you met members of the opposite sex. It's where you could have a little fun.
Okay, now I have to ask. So his first name was not actually Crabby. Where did he get that name from?
Yeah, well, because by all accounts, Crabby Steve was not crabby. I mean, he was actually quite congenial, although apparently...
But congenial Steve doesn't have the same ring to it.
Apparently, he was a big man, and apparently occasionally fist fights would break out and he'd have to wade into the crowd to sort it out. But no, apparently the reason he called it Crabby Steve's is that while he was in the Merchant Marine, he spent quite a bit of time in San Francisco, California, and apparently there was a very popular place there, a restaurant or a bar called Crabby Joe's.
Oh.
And so he decided, I guess, when he came here that he would start Crabby Steve's.
And
so
the name really does stick.
Oh, it does indeed. Even today, I go and give presentations and I just mention that phrase, Crabby Steve's, and wow, the reaction I get.
Really? Now, like you mentioned, this dance hall was the place to be to obviously mingle and socialize, but there was something else going on in this place.
Well, yeah, that's right. I mean, apparently people could act silly as much as they want to, and a lot of the uninhibited behavior was and the fist fights were fueled by the conspicuous consumption of fairly substantial quantities of moonshine.
I think that's hilarious. And there's an interesting statistic that you had about Manitoba and moonshining.
Yeah, well, because I was quite interested in this phenomenon. I actually did some research to find out more about it. And there's very little that's been documented about moonshining in Manitoba. But apparently it was widespread. I found a report by the RCMP in the mid-1950s where it summarized moonshining across Canada. The number one province in Canada for the production of moonshine was Manitoba.
No way.
Absolutely. We came out ahead of Quebec, and those two provinces together, Manitoba and Quebec, accounted for half of all the stills that were seized by the RCMP. They accounted for 3/4 of the illicit booze and over 80% of the total gallonage of beer that was confiscated. So, you know, we were awash in the stuff. So, of course, inevitably, you know, you go to a social occasion, you want to have a little bit of enthusiasm, you take a few swigs and hit out on the dance floor.
Manitoba's the place to be.
It was indeed.
Now, did he have any competition?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there are dance halls all over the province because, of course, you think about it, that this was a time when there wasn't the internet, there weren't televisions a lot of places, movie theaters were only in the bigger communities. You know, there wasn't a lot of opportunities for entertainment. So there were dance halls quite a few places. And even in this area, I mean, it wasn't a highly populated area, there were actually at least 2 dance halls. So in addition to Crabby Steve's, just up the road, you had another place that I think is just a perfect name for in competition with a place called Crabby Steve's. It was called Jolly Wallies.
Oh, I love you, Manitoba, in so many ways.
Yeah.
That's great.
Apparently a fellow named Walter Lake built a competing dance hall just up the road at Malanton.
And he was a miserable person, right? That's why he was going for the...
Well, no. Again, by the counts I've heard, he was a pretty nice guy as well.
So what happened to these two competitors?
Well, over time, of course, things changed. The ways that we found entertainment changed. I suppose the crackdown on moonshining probably contribute to it somewhat. So by the 1970s and 80s, Steve's wasn't the popular place that it had once been. I think probably they were simply just, it was just too easy to get on the in the car and drive to Gimli, drive to Toulon, drive to Winnipeg and find, you know, maybe more titillating entertainment there. So
do we know what happened to Steve?
Steve himself passed away just about 2 years ago.
Oh, recent.
Yes. In fact, there is an absolutely wonderful documentary on the CBC website. I would encourage everybody to check it out. It was made back in the 1980s, near the time when the dance hall was closing. They basically had sort of a comeback and sort of reminisce about the good old times. And it's just a wonderful look at this bit of culture from that time.
And you said, like, when you give presentations, people have stories to share about this.
Oh, yeah.
Why do you think that is?
I think this was a really important part of their life at that time. I mean, it was the way that they, say, met people. I mean, many of them apparently met their spouses. So, you know, that was something that was quite memorable. Yeah. You know, so today, you know, people come and they, after I give a presentation, they'll come up and give me all kinds of stories about those good times at Krabby Steve's.
And you wanted to make a call out to listeners, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping there's lots of these stories out there. So if any of our listeners would like to share a story of good times or bad times at Krabby Steve's or any of the dance halls, please give me a call and leave me a message. You can call my line at 204-474-7469, 204-474-7469, and leave me a message.
That would be great. We'd love to hear your Krabby Steve stories and play them on air. What do you have in store for us next week?
Well, in the 1960s, my family were avid campers and we would travel
just
all
in the
over.
1960s?
Well, 70s, I suppose, too. Yeah. But by that time, I was getting a little older. I wasn't so interested in going out camping with the family.
Right.
But certainly, a lot of families, in fact, mine and many others, would head out on the road and go camping. And so next week, we're going to take a walk along a peaceful trail along the Seine River that tells us something about those family camping trips in the 1960s.
Lovely. Thank you so much, Gordon.
You're welcome.
Every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons.